All right, so I've got this chapter on life insurance that you sent over, and well, I got to be honest, I wasn't exactly like jumping for joy when I saw it. Not really the most exciting topic, right?
Well, you might be surprised there's a lot more to it than you might think. I mean, it's not just about death benefits. Life insurance is actually like a really versatile tool for all kinds of financial planning. It can protect your family, but also it can even be used for like business purposes.
Okay, so now I'm a little intrigued. So, where do we even start with all this?
Well, this chapter kind of starts off by talking about something called third-party ownership and insurable interest. Basically, it means you can't just go out and take out a life insurance policy on just like anybody, right? There needs to be a legitimate reason for it, what they call an insurable interest.
So, like, I couldn't just insure my neighbor, like, just because I think they might win the lottery or something?
Exactly. There has to be a real financial or emotional stake involved. Like spouses have an insurable interest in each other, business partners do. Even a lender has an insurable interest in, a borrower. It's really about proving that you would actually suffer a loss if that person, were to pass away.
Right. Okay, that makes sense. So then, why don't we get into some of the reasons why people get life insurance in the first place? I know the death benefit is obviously like a big one, but what else is there?
Right. So yeah, the death benefit is definitely at the core of it all. But let's say you're like, the main breadwinner in your family. What happens if something happens to you? Like, life insurance can replace that lost income and it can help your family cover those everyday expenses, like, from the mortgage to the groceries, all of that stuff.
So it's kind of like a safety net so your family doesn't get hit with this huge financial crisis on top of everything else they're going through.
Right. Precisely. And it's not just about like replacing income, think about those big debts that might be left behind, like a mortgage, student loans, car payments. Life insurance can actually like completely wipe those out and give your family, like a clean slate to start with.
I've also heard people talk about using life insurance for, estate planning. What does that even mean?
Well, it's a pretty smart strategy, actually. Like, let's say you're a young couple and, you haven't really had the time to build up a lot of assets yet. Life insurance can actually create an instant estate for your beneficiaries, It can give them that financial cushion.
So even if, like, you haven't amassed a fortune yet, your family would still be taken care of.
Exactly. And on the flip side, if you do have, a substantial estate, life insurance can really help to cover those hefty estate taxes, making sure that more of your wealth goes to your heirs and, not so much to the government.
Okay, yeah, that's pretty clever. I hadn't thought about it like that before.
And then there's also the issue of liquidity, like when someone passes away, there are often all these immediate expenses that come up, right? Things like funeral costs, medical bills, and any outstanding debts. Sometimes families really have to scramble to come up with all that cash, especially if, most of their assets are tied up in illiquid things like real estate or like, family business.
Right, so life insurance can help to bridge that gap in those situations.
Exactly. It provides like this immediate cash that can be a lifesaver in those situations. And then, of course, there's like the whole living benefits aspect of permanent life insurance.
Living benefits. I thought life insurance was all about, death.
Yeah, that's a pretty common misconception. Permanent life insurance policies actually build cash value over time. It's kind of like having a savings account built into your policy that you can tap into for like emergencies, opportunities, or even to supplement your retirement income later on.
So it's like life insurance can actually be a wealth-building tool too.
In a way, yes, but the key is really, figuring out how much coverage you actually need.
Right, because you don't want to be like overpaying for coverage that you don't really need, but you also don't want to leave your family, short.
Exactly. So this chapter talks about two main approaches to figuring that out. The human life value approach and the needs approach.
Okay, so let's start with human life value. What's that all about?
Basically, it's a simplified way of, like calculating your potential earnings over, your entire working life. So you just take your annual income and multiply it by the number of years until you plan to retire. That gives you, like a rough estimate of how much income you would have generated, if you had lived.
So it's like a starting point, but not really the whole picture.
Exactly. It doesn't take into account things like inflation, potential salary increases, or the fact that your family's financial needs might change over time, and that's where the needs approach comes in.
Okay, so tell me more about this needs approach. Sounds like a deeper dive.
Yeah, it is. It goes beyond just like your income and really breaks down your family's specific financial needs, you know, if something were to happen to you. It's everything, you know, from covering immediate expenses to replacing your income for years to come.
So how do you even begin to figure all of that out?
So the needs approach really looks at three main categories: cash needs, income needs, and coordinating with other resources.
Okay, let's break those down one by one then.
Yeah.
What falls under cash needs?
So think about all those immediate costs that would like arise if you were gone, right? Final expenses like funeral costs and medical bills, any outstanding debts that you might have, and maybe even setting aside some money for your kids' education.
So those are like those one-time costs that need to be like covered right away.
Exactly. Now, income needs, that's a bit more complex. We're talking about how your family would like actually maintain their lifestyle without your income. Right? And it's not just like a one-size-fits-all kind of calculation.
Yeah.
Well, the needs approach actually considers three different income periods. So you've got the family dependency period, the pre-retirement period, and then the retirement period itself.
Okay. So what's the difference between those?
So the family dependency period is, you know, like when your kids are young and they're really reliant on your income. Pre-retirement is, you know, like when your kids are grown up, but maybe your spouse isn't retired yet. And then, of course, there's the retirement period.
So you're basically looking at like how much income your family would need at each stage of life.
Right. And this is where it gets really interesting. There's this thing called the blackout period for Social Security survivor benefits.
Blackout period. That sounds kind of ominous.
It can be if you're not prepared. It's this period where Social Security benefits for like a surviving spouse actually stop, even if they have young children.
Wait, really? I had no idea.
Yeah, a lot of people don't. So, for example, let's say your spouse passes away when your kids are like, you know, 12 and 14. Your spouse's benefits would actually stop when the youngest turns 16, and they wouldn't start up again until your spouse reaches retirement age. That's a pretty long gap in coverage that, you know, you might need to fill somehow.
Wow. Okay. That's definitely something to think about. So it's not just about replacing my income. It's about like making sure my family's covered during those vulnerable periods.
Exactly. And, you know, the needs approach also reminds you to factor in any existing assets you might have, employer benefits or, you know, potential Social Security income when you're trying to determine like how much life insurance you might actually need.
So it's really about like taking stock of your entire financial picture, right?
That's the idea. It's all about getting like a personalized assessment of your situation and figuring out what gaps life insurance needs to fill for you.
So who like helps you figure all of this out? Do you just like do it yourself or?
It's definitely a good idea to like work with a financial professional. They can walk you through the entire process, you know, gather all the necessary data and help you determine like the right amount of coverage for your, you know, unique needs.
And it sounds like this needs approach can get like pretty complex. Is it really worth the effort?
Oh, absolutely. It's the most comprehensive way to, you know, really make sure that your family is protected, you know, no matter what. Now, besides these personal uses, life insurance can actually play a surprising role in, you know, like the business world too.
Okay, so let's shift gears then and talk about that. What are some of the ways that businesses use life insurance?
One of the most common uses is for something called buy-sell funding.
Buy-sell funding, what's that?
So imagine you and like a partner, you know, start a business together. What happens if one of you dies unexpectedly? Buy-sell funding, you know, using life insurance, it provides this really clear plan for the surviving partner to actually buy out the deceased partner's shares.
Ah, okay, so it like ensures a smooth transition and prevents the business from being thrown into chaos.
Exactly. And there are two main types of buy-sell agreements: entity plans and cross-purchase plans.
What's the difference?
Okay, so in an entity plan, the business itself actually buys the life insurance policy on each owner. And then if an owner dies, the business uses the death benefit to buy back the deceased owner's shares.
So the business is like basically a participant in the agreement, right?
Right. With a cross-purchase plan, though, the owners individually buy policies on each other. If one owner dies, then the surviving owners use the death benefit to, you know, buy the deceased owner's shares.
It's like a safety net for business partners, making sure that, you know, everyone's protected no matter what.
Precisely. And then there's something called key person coverage.
Key person coverage.
Yeah. So it's essentially taking out a life insurance policy on a crucial employee, right? You know, someone who's like skills, knowledge, or relationships are, you know, just vital to the company's success.
Like the top salesperson who brings in all the big clients.
Exactly. If that, you know, key person dies, the business is going to face, like, you know, a significant financial hit. So key person coverage helps to offset those losses and, you know, ensure that the company can keep running smoothly.
That makes sense. It's like insurance for the business itself.
Precisely. It can cover things like lost revenue, the cost of finding and training a replacement, and it can even help to, like, maintain the company's credit rating during a, you know, difficult transition.
So it's not just families that can benefit from life insurance, then it can be like a vital tool for businesses too.
Absolutely. And there are even more specialized ways that businesses can, like, leverage life insurance for things like executive bonus plans and deferred compensation plans.
Wow, there's so much more to life insurance than I realized. I feel like we've only, like, scratched the surface here.
There's definitely a lot to unpack. What stands out to you so far?
Honestly, I'm still, like, wrapping my head around that whole blackout period thing for, you know, Social Security benefits. And I'm also really intrigued by all the different ways that, you know, businesses can use life insurance. It's definitely not just for families.
That's a great takeaway. It seems like we've successfully busted the myth that life insurance is just a boring, morbid topic.
For sure. But before we get, like, too ahead of ourselves, maybe we should back up and talk about the different types of life insurance policies that are out there. You know, I know we briefly mentioned group life insurance, but what are some of the other options?
Great question. Group life insurance is, you know, usually offered through employers, so it's a good starting point. But let's delve into the world of individual policies, term life and permanent life insurance. That's where things get really interesting.
All right, lead the way. Tell me more about those. Okay, so you were going to tell me more about the individual life insurance policies, like term life and permanent life insurance.
Yeah.
To be honest, those terms always kind of sounded, you know, a little intimidating to me. Like, what even is the difference between them?
Oh, it's actually a lot simpler than you might think. You know how, like, sometimes you need a car and you have to decide, like, do you want to, like, buy it outright or lease it?
Right.
Well, term life insurance, it's kind of like leasing a car. You know, you're covered for a specific period of time, like 10, 20, maybe 30 years.
And that's why it's, like, cheaper than, you know, quote unquote, buying permanent coverage.
Exactly. It's a really good option if you need, like, a large amount of coverage. But, you know, you're on a limited budget. Like, you know, when you're younger and you're just starting a family or something, think of it as, like, covering those crucial years when your family really depends on your income, you know, the most.
So my main concern is, like, making sure my family is protected while my kids are, you know, young. Term life insurance could be a good fit for me.
Absolutely. And the great thing is, a lot of term policies, they're actually convertible. So let's say, you know, down the line, your financial situation changes and you decide you want, like, lifelong coverage. You can actually convert that term policy into a permanent one and you don't even have to go through a new medical exam or anything.
Oh, that's good to know. So what about permanent life insurance then? What makes that different?
You remember that car analogy we were talking about? Permanent life insurance, that's like actually buying the car. You know, yeah. It's yours for life, as long as you keep up with the payments, of course. It gives you that lifelong coverage. And it also has this really cool feature, a cash value component.
Cash value. So it's like, it's not just insurance. It's like having a savings account built in.
You got it. Think of it as like a piggy bank that just keeps growing and growing over time. You can even, like, borrow against that cash value or even withdraw from it if you need to.
That's pretty neat. So what are the different types of permanent life insurance?
So there's, you know, a few options, and each one has, like, its own little quirks. Whole life insurance, that's like the most traditional type. It's predictable, it's stable, you know, like that reliable car that your grandparents have had forever.
Right.
It offers, you know, guaranteed premiums, a guaranteed death benefit, and even a guaranteed cash value growth rate.
So it's like a safe bet if you really value predictability and peace of mind.
Exactly. Now, if you're a little more adventurous, though, and you want some, you know, flexibility, there's also universal life insurance. It's kind of like a newer car with, you know, more bells and whistles. You can actually adjust your premiums, adjust your death benefit within certain limits, of course. And the cash value actually grows based on market performance.
Oh, so there's potential for, like, higher returns,
yeah,
but also maybe a bit more risk involved.
That's right. It's all about, you know, finding the right balance for your own personal, you know, comfort level. And if you want even more control over how your money is growing, there's also variable universal life insurance. This one actually allows you to invest your cash value in different sub-accounts. It's kind of like choosing your own, investment portfolio.
That sounds pretty sophisticated. Probably not for like everyone though, right?
Yeah, not necessarily for beginners, but if you're comfortable with, managing investments and things like that, it can be a great option. But remember, with greater control, there's also greater responsibility, right?
Got it. So, like, with all these different options, how do I even know which one is right for me?
Well, that's where, talking to a financial advisor can be really helpful. They can help you navigate this whole maze of options, figure out what's the best fit for your specific needs and goals, your risk tolerance, all that good stuff. It's kind of like having a personal shopper, but for your financial well-being.
Makes sense. But before we like dive into finding an advisor and all that, is there anything else we should know about these policies? Like any hidden features or, fine print to watch out for?
Good point. Don't forget about riders. Those are like the extra add-ons that you can, attach to your policy. Think of them as optional upgrades for, your car.
Oh, okay. Like what kind of upgrades are we talking about?
Well, there's the accidental death benefit rider. So this one provides an extra payout if you die from, an accident, which statistically speaking is more likely to happen than you might think.
Yeah, that's a bit of a sobering thought. What else?
There's the waiver of premium rider. This one's like a safety net. If you become disabled and you can't work anymore, it'll actually waive your premium payments so your coverage stays in place even if, your income stops.
Okay, that's really helpful, actually. Any other like must-have riders?
The accelerated death benefit rider, this one can be a real lifesaver if, someone's diagnosed with a terminal illness. It actually lets you access a portion of your death benefit while you're still alive, to help cover things like medical expenses or other needs.
That's incredibly compassionate, actually. So it's not just about protecting your family after you're gone. It can actually help you, like during those really difficult times, too.
Exactly. And finally, if you're worried about, long-term care costs down the road, there's actually a rider for that too. It can help cover like the costs of nursing homes, assisted living, in-home care, all those things that can really drain your savings.
Wow. Okay. So these riders add a whole new like layer of protection. But I imagine they probably, come at a cost.
Of course, riders are optional, so they will add a bit to your premium. But, the peace of mind and the extra coverage they provide can be well worth it, depending on your needs and your, specific circumstances. It's all about like customizing that policy to fit your own unique situation.
So basically, life insurance isn't like a one-size-fits-all kind of thing. You really need to do your research and figure out what, what works best for you.
You got it. But it's not just about picking the right type of policy or, the right riders. You also need to choose the right insurance company too.
Okay, yeah, that's true.
Yeah.
What should I be looking for in an insurance company?
First and foremost, you got to check their financial strength. You want a company that's rock solid that can actually pay out those claims when, the time comes. Think of it like choosing a bank. You wouldn't just deposit your money in any bank, right? You want one that's trustworthy.
So how do I like check an insurance company's, credit score, so to speak?
Well, there are these independent rating agencies out there like AM Best, Moody's, Standard and Poor's. They actually give insurance companies ratings based on, their financial stability. You can find these ratings online, and it's like a really quick and easy way to do a little background check,
Good to know. So financial strength is like a must. What else should I be considering?
Look into their reputation for customer service. Are they known for being, easy to work with? Do they have a good track record of handling claims efficiently and, fairly? You can find some clues like online reviews, industry surveys, things like that.
So it's not just about the numbers then, it's also about how they actually treat their customers, right?
Exactly. And of course, make sure they actually offer the specific types of policies and riders that you're looking for. Not all companies are created equal. Some specialize in certain areas, so you want to find one that really aligns with your needs.
Okay, that makes sense. So let's say I've, found a few companies that seem financially sound and they have, decent customer service. How do I actually compare their like their actual policies? What should I be like paying attention to?
Great question. First, focus on that death benefit amount. Does it align with your needs and goals? Remember, this is the money that your beneficiaries are actually going to receive. So it needs to be enough to cover their expenses and, help them maintain their lifestyle.
Right, that's the whole point of having life insurance in the first place, right?
Exactly. Then, really scrutinize those premium payment terms. How often are you going to be making those payments? Is it monthly, quarterly, annually? Are the premiums fixed, meaning they're going to stay the same over time? Or are they variable, which means they can, fluctuate? Can you actually comfortably afford those payments over the long haul? These are all really crucial questions.
It's all about finding a policy that fits your budget and that can help you achieve your financial goals.
Absolutely. And here's a pro tip. Don't be afraid to ask questions. If there's anything that you don't understand about the policy or it's, fine print, just ask. Ask your agent, ask the insurance company directly. It's your money, it's your future on the line. You have every right to be informed.
That's a great reminder. So we've covered a lot of ground here. The different types of life insurance policies, the importance of riders, how to choose an insurance company. Like, is there anything else that we should keep in mind as we kind of wrap up this part of the discussion?
Well, thinking back to that whole blackout period for Social Security benefits, it really, highlights the need to think long term and consider all those like what if scenarios, right? Life insurance isn't just about protecting your loved ones in the, immediate aftermath of loss. It's about securing their financial well-being for, years and years to come.
You know, that's a really good point. And it kind of ties into something I was thinking about earlier. With all these different ways that life insurance can be used, are there like specific situations where it makes like even more sense to have, I mean, besides the obvious ones like having young children or, a mortgage?
That's a fantastic question, and it's one that I think every listener should be asking themselves. We've talked about, some of the financial needs that it can address, but it can also provide like a huge sense of peace of mind, knowing that you've taken those steps to protect the people you care about, whether it's, your family, your business partners, even a charitable cause, anything like that.
Okay, yeah, I'm starting to see the bigger picture here. Life insurance isn't just about, death. It's about life. It's about planning for the future and making sure your loved ones are taken care of no matter what, what life throws your way.
Exactly. It's a really powerful tool that can bring both financial security and peace of mind. What stands out to you as like the most compelling use case?
Honestly, it's that concept of using life insurance to create like an instant estate for, young families. It's like a safety net that can be there even if you haven't had the time to build up a lot of wealth yet. I'm definitely going to be thinking more about that. What else can we uncover about life insurance?
Well, we've covered the what and the why, but now let's move on to the how. In the next part, we'll actually delve into the process of getting life insurance, the application, the underwriting, all those nitty-gritty details.
All right, let's dive into that next.
Yeah.
All right, so we've, explored all the different types of life insurance and why it might be a good idea. But how do you actually go about, like getting it? What's that whole process like?
Well, it's actually surprisingly straightforward. The first step is, you reach out to an insurance agent or a company and you fill out an application. It's kind of like your, linked insurance resume. You share details about your health history, your lifestyle, your financial situation, the type and amount of coverage you're looking for.
Okay, that sounds, pretty simple enough. What happens after I submit the application?
Well, that's when the insurance company, they kind of put on their detective hat and they start the underwriting process. They're going to review your application. They'll look at things like, your medical records, your driving history. They might even run a credit check. They're basically trying to assess like how risky you are to insure.
So it's like a background check, but for, life insurance.
Exactly. They want to get a very clear picture of your overall health and lifestyle to determine how likely you are to, file a claim.
Makes sense. So if I'm like, young and healthy, I'll probably get a better rate.
Right, absolutely. That's why it's always a good idea to, start thinking about life insurance early on. The younger and healthier you are, the lower your premiums are going to be.
Okay, good to know. Any other tips for like keeping those premiums down besides, not dying young?
Well, there are no guarantees on that front, unfortunately. But you can definitely tilt the odds in your favor by, maintaining a healthy lifestyle, quit smoking, exercise regularly, eat a balanced diet. All those good habits can actually translate into lower premiums because you're presenting, a lower risk to the insurance company.
So taking care of yourself pays off in like more ways than one. It's a win-win.
Exactly. And don't forget to, shop around and compare quotes from different insurance companies. Premiums can vary quite a bit, so it's really worth, doing your homework to find the best deal. Don't just settle for the first offer that you get.
It's like, buying a car. You wouldn't buy the first one you see without comparing prices, right?
Precisely. Now, speaking of shopping around, how do you actually know which insurance company is the right fit for you? What are some of the red flags that you should watch out for?
Okay, yeah, that's a good question. What should I be looking for?
Financial strength. That is like paramount. You want a company that's, financially stable, that can actually pay out those claims when the time comes. Look for companies with high ratings from those independent agencies we talked about, AM Best, Moody's, Standard and Poor's. Think of it as checking their credit score before you actually trust them with your money.
So don't just go with a company because they have like a catchy jingle or a celebrity spokesperson.
Yeah, marketing can be pretty deceiving. Dig a little deeper, look into their reputation for customer service. Are they known for being, easy to work with? Do they have a good track record for handling claims efficiently and fairly? Online reviews, industry surveys, those can give you some pretty good insight.
Right, because even if they're like financially sound, if they're a nightmare to actually deal with, that's not a good sign.
Exactly. And of course, make sure they offer the types of policies and riders that you're looking for. Not all insurance companies are created equal. Some specialize in certain areas. They cater to certain demographics. So do your research. Find a company that really aligns with your needs and your values.
It's like, find the right doctor.
Yeah.
You want someone who specializes in what you need, who you feel comfortable with. So let's say I've narrowed it down to a few companies that seem, pretty reputable and financially sound. How do I actually compare their policies? Like, what should I be paying attention to?
Okay, first and foremost, focus on that death benefit amount. Does it align with your needs, with your goals? Remember, this is the money that your beneficiaries are going to receive, so it needs to be enough to cover their expenses, help them maintain their lifestyle.
Right, because that's the whole point of getting life insurance in the first place, right?
Yeah.
To make sure your loved ones are, taken care of.
Exactly. Then, take a close look at those premium payment terms. How often are you going to be making those payments? Monthly, quarterly, annually? Are those premiums fixed, meaning they're going to stay the same over time, or are they variable, meaning they can, go up or down? Can you actually comfortably afford those payments over, the long haul? These are all really, really crucial questions to consider.
It's about finding a policy that, really fits your budget and your long-term financial goals. It wouldn't make sense to get a policy that you can't afford to, to keep.
Exactly. And here's a pro tip. Don't be afraid to, to ask questions. If there's anything that you don't understand about the policy, about the terms and conditions, just ask. Ask your agent, ask the insurance company directly. It's your money, it's your future on the line, so you have every right to be informed.
It's like, signing any contract.
Right.
You want to make sure you understand what you're agreeing to. So we talked about the application, the underwriting, choosing an insurance company, comparing policies. Like, is there anything else we should know before we wrap up our life insurance deep dive?
Just remember that life insurance isn't, like a one-size-fits-all solution. What works for your neighbor, for your coworker, that might not be the best fit for you. It's about taking the time to really understand your own unique needs and goals, doing your research and finding a policy and a company that you really feel confident in.
It sounds like, knowledge really is power when it comes to life insurance.
Absolutely. The more informed you are, the better equipped you're going to be to make those, smart decisions that protect your loved ones, your financial future.
Well, I gotta say, I feel a lot more confident about life insurance now. Who knew it could be so, dare I say, interesting?
It's been a pleasure diving deep with you. Remember, this is just the beginning of your journey. Take what you've learned here and keep exploring, keep asking questions, keep learning.
That's great advice. And to all of our listeners out there, thank you so much for joining us on this deep dive into the world of life insurance. We hope you've learned something new and that you feel empowered to, take control of your financial future. Until next time, happy deep diving.